Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam tadhami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upalantite. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. We are reading this evening from chapter 10 of Bhagavad Gita. In this verse, Bhagavan Sri Krishna reveals specifically who he gives the proper understanding of the Absolute Truth. Anyone can say that I know Krishna or that I have seen Krishna. Especially here in India. When our Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, was preaching for many years the pure message of Sanatana Dharma in India, he found that people were so much distracted by politics and the science and technology of the West that they had forgotten their own spiritual heritage. He was thinking, if people of the West take to Krishna consciousness, then the people of India may take it very seriously. So in the early 70s, many of us came to try to assist our Guru Maharaj. And one of the greatest wonders that we all found is almost everyone we tried to deliver understanding of Bhagavad Gita, they would all say, I know Krishna. Yes, I know Krishna. I have seen Krishna. I have been hearing Gita, Mahabharata from my childhood. I know Krishna. And some say that Krishna is in my heart. I don't need guru. I don't need sadhus. I don't need shastra. But here, Krishna explains the truth. He only reveals himself to one who is constantly devoted and worships him with love. That means to have no material attachments. Bhishma Dev explains that love means to repose all one's affection in one object. Krishna explains in the Gita that as long as one has attachment for the objects of the senses and mind, one cannot have real love for Krishna. And in this verse, Krishna is explaining that you cannot know him unless you love him. Krishna reveals himself to one who has bhakti. Bhaktya mam abhi janati avanyashta smritatvata. Only through love, through devotion, does Krishna reveal himself as he is. Therefore, Krishna explains, tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. The real process of knowing Krishna. And that is to become humble, to become very submissive, to accept that I do not know, and to approach those who are properly authorized by the Parampara system and humbly submit ourselves to hear from them and to serve them. This is the proper process. In this world, people are cultivated from their early childhood to be very proud. But in spiritual life, we must learn how to be very submissive and very humble. Arjuna approached Krishna as one who knew. And therefore Krishna did not speak anything to him. But when Arjuna admitted that I know nothing, I am fool number one, then Krishna revealed all knowledge to him. So we should not take seriously any quality but humility and devotion in a spiritual person. We are not concerned simply how learned a man may be, because great learning of the Shastra without humility and devotion is all superficial. We do not take seriously attainment of great powers, because we read in the scriptures that even demons often have great powers. But humility and devotion are the real qualities of a saintly person. Detachment from selfish material aspirations and attachment to serving and glorifying Krishna. And it is described in Bhagavat that such rishis, their feet are like boats that can carry us across the ocean of material suffering. How is that? Because they are always holding on to the feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. We cannot reach Krishna's feet directly. But if we can attach ourselves to the lotus feet of those who are completely attached to Krishna, then the same effect is achieved. In fact, better effect is achieved. Because Krishna explains, bhakto mam abhi janati, through devotion I can be known, and mam, that I am more pleased with one who serves my devotee than I am pleased with one who serves me directly. In this world, there are so many pitfalls to our spiritual progress. This world has been designed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in such a way that those who are sincere will ever, forever make progress, and those who are insincere will forever digress in bondage. There are so many illusions and so many sufferings and so many temptations that will come into our life. If we are insincere, they will take us away from Krishna. If we are sincere, the more material energy presents temptations and obstacles, the more we helplessly attach ourselves to the lotus feet of the Lord. Therefore, for a person who is sincere about spiritual life, the environment is always friendly. Whatever is happening is simply the merciful grace of the Lord helping to call me closer and closer to Him. But in order to have this vision, we have to associate with people who have this vision. Srila Prabhupada gave us the example that during World War II, the wives of the American soldiers and the wives of the German soldiers, they all went to church while their husbands were in the battlefield and prayed to God, "Please bring my husband back alive." Try to understand how crazy these people are. Krishna explains in Gita, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, that everything is my property. Everything should be used according to my direction. And both of these armies are defending people with the type of ego that want to claim proprietorship over what is God's. The Americans are saying, "This is my country." They say, "In God we trust, but this is my country." They trust him as long as he doesn't interfere. And the Germans, at that time, they were claiming not only that Germany was their country, but the whole world was meant to be their country. So both sides were refusing to accept the authority and the will of the Lord. And they were fighting over stolen property. Just like if two thieves rob a bank and then they fight over who is the proprietor of the money. So they're fighting and they're killing each other in disobedience to the will of God. And then they're each praying, "God, send my husband back." So, of course, on both sides, many men died, especially the German side. So the women became atheists. They were thinking, "What is the use of this God? I prayed for my husband and I did not get my husband." This is not devotion. Certainly, the nature of this world is there will be so many impediments. Everything is temporary. In fact, it is said that this world is a place of death, Martyaloka. But a devotee understands that whatever happens, positive or negative, it is all various ways in which Krishna is calling me back home, back to Godhead. If we take something negative, we get a negative reaction. If we see something positive, we get a positive reaction. Everything in this world is dependent on our perception. Bhagavad Gita teaches us how to perceive this world at every minute in such a way that we could progress in spiritual life. We can approach the truth. We are not these material bodies. These bodies are destined without question to old age, disease, death and rebirth. Whatever happens to this body, it is just the way of this world. But the eternal soul within this body, that life force that gives light and consciousness to this body, is eternal and part of Krishna. Therefore, devotees must live according to the tendencies of the soul. And by doing so, we become purified. We can perceive everything according to Krishna's will. And our consciousness becomes perfect. Krishna reveals himself to who he chooses. And he is herein explaining who he chooses to reveal himself to. In this regard, there's a beautiful story in Chaitanya Bhagavat. It's a story of about a Brahman who was on pilgrimage to all different holy places. And this Brahman came to the house of Jagannath Mishra. At that time, the Supreme Lord Krishna, who had incarnated as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was living as a baby child in the house of Jagannath Mishra. Now this Brahman, he was constantly chanting the six-syllable Gopal mantra. And he had a beautiful deity of Gopal and a Shalagram Shila. And he would wear them in a cloth around his neck everywhere he would go. His body was their temple. We are building wonderful, wonderful temples for our deities. But Krishna accepts whatever love and devotion is offered in whatever situation. This Brahmin pilgrim had no money. He had no fixed place of residence, but he always kept the deity on his own body like a temple. So when he came to Jagannath Mishra's house, it was seen that he had such pure and devotional qualities. So Jagannath Mishra washed his feet and treated him as an honored guest. And then he asked the Brahmin, "Please, let us arrange for your cooking of nice rice prasad today." So the Brahmin said, "Whatever you desire." So Jagannath Mishra cleaned the kitchen and brought nice ingredients of vegetables and rice and everything, and asked the Brahmin to cook. So he began to cook very nicely. And after the bhoga was prepared, he began to sit in meditation and chant the mantra for Gopal to come and eat the food. Just when he was chanting the mantra, little Nimai, that was Lord Chaitanya's name at the time, he came up to the plate of food and he took a handful of rice and he ate it. And the Brahmin cried out, "Alas, alas, he has spoiled my offering." Because as you know, you cannot offer anything to Krishna that has first been eaten by anyone else. So everyone in the family looked on as little Nimai was eating the rice. And then he ran away. And Jagannath Mishra went chasing after him. And the people of the house said, "Please, he's only a baby child. Don't harm him. He has ruined my guest's offering." So the Brahmin was very humble. Nothing happens by chance in this world. This child has spoiled my offering because Krishna wants me to fast today. But Jagannath Mishra and the family members were thinking, this is a great offense. If you come to our home and you fast, you must cook again, please. He said, no, no, there is no need. I will just take some fruit or whatever you have. No need to cook. Krishna does not want me to eat. It is obvious. But they fell at his feet and begged him, please cook again. So Jagannath Mishra cleaned the whole kitchen all over again and bought brand new ingredients and put everything in order, and the Brahmin began to cook. Meanwhile, Jagannath Mishra said, keep that Nimai away from here. Lock him up. But the lady said, no, no, he's with us. We will keep him. So they took him to a separate little house, and they were all playing with him. They were passing him from hand to hand, and he was so beautiful with his lovely golden complexion that he was just charming their hearts. Nimai, they said, how is it that you are a Brahmin and you don't even know where this Brahmin is coming from? By eating food from someone who you don't know, you can lose your caste. And little Nimai said, what? I am just a cowherd boy. I always eat the offerings of Brahmin devotees. He was revealing to them who he was. But they loved him so much, they could not understand his words. So he was speaking in such loving ways that he intoxicated everyone so much that he left them there, and they didn't even know he left. And meanwhile, the Brahmin finished all of his cooking, and he began to chant his Gopal mantra. And right in front of his eyes, there was Nimai with the rice in his hand, eating it. And he cried, alas, alas, again he has spoiled my offering. And this time Jagannath Mishra picked up stick and began to run for Nimai. Fathers are like this. Even the father of God. How is it that God has father? Krishna says in Gita, Aham Bija Pratapita. Krishna says, I am the seed-giving father of all living entities. So how is it possible that Ram's father was Dasarath and his mother was Kaushalya? Krishna was born of Devaki and Vasudeva, and later Nanda and Yashoda and Lord Chaitanya, Sachi Devi and Jagannath Mishra were in the role of father. Because when the Lord comes to this world, he wants to reveal the exchanges of love to everyone. The process of bhakti is so powerful that Krishna takes a subordinate position to the love of his devotee. It is Krishna's lila, Krishna's pastime, that he agrees to accept the role of someone's child just to enjoy their parental love. So as Jagannath Mishra was chasing after little Nimai with stick, Nimai ran into room and closed the door. How is this possible? That God is afraid. It is said in Bhagavatam that fear personified is afraid of God. Even Yamaraj himself, with folded hands, fears the Supreme Lord, Krishna.
Karibo.
Queen Kunti was thinking like this, that the Supreme Lord, who destroys all the cosmic manifestation by his mere will, who is feared by even the greatest of the demigods, is running away from Mother Yashoda out of fear. Again, Krishna performs these wonderful pastimes just to give pleasure to his devotees. Because God is a person. In the ultimate sense, God is not impersonal. The impersonal energy of the Lord is only an emanation from the absolute truth, the cause of all causes, Krishna, who is the Supreme Person. He is Rasa Raj. That means he is always anxious to experience the eternal love of his devotees. So, for this reason, sometimes he becomes the servant of his devotee. Sometimes he cries for his devotees. Sometimes he is afraid of his devotees. This is his pastime of increasing the love of his devotees. After all, which is a more intimate form of love? The love between a parent and a child, or the love between a master and a servant? In the Western religions, they only have the conception that God is the Supreme Lord and Master, and we are all his obedient servants. But the Vedic literatures give us entrance into higher understandings of God. You can be his friend. You can be his parent. You can be his lover. And Krishna arranges such relationships just to increase the facility to love him. This is Bhagavad philosophy. So Nimai ran away and hid. He was hiding in the room. Isn't it wonderful? When we hear about God destroying creation with thunderbolts, it's not very attractive. But when we hear about that same person with tears in his eyes, trembling in fear, running away from his father, it's very attractive. Would you rather surrender to such a beautiful form of Nimai Pandit, Krishna, who was acting the same way in the house of Nanda and Yashoda, or surrender to that Supreme Lord who destroys and creates everything? Krishna reveals these divine pastimes of love just to attract our hearts back to him. So the Brahman himself stopped Jagannath Mishra. Please, he's just a child. He's not responsible for his behavior. But Jagannath Mishra, I will teach him a lesson. And all the members of the family said, Jagannath Mishra, please, please. So he sat with his head down. He was so unhappy that his guest would have to fast. He pleaded, please, cook again. The Brahman said, now it's confirmed Krishna wants me to fast today. So everyone was very silent. And then Nimai's brother, Vishwarup, who is an incarnation of Balaram, entered the room. He was a young boy, but he was so beautiful. And he was the embodiment of all good qualities. And he fell at the feet of the Brahman. And when the Brahman saw Vishwarupa's beauty and good qualities, his mouth dropped open and he began to cry. Who is the fortunate person that could have such a lovely and charming son? Vishwarupa explained, "My dear Brahman, we are so blessed that you have come to our house. The whole world is blessed that you travel around her. But please understand that we are the most unfortunate if you do not eat nice prasad in our house. And we will be most fortunate if you eat prasad in our house. So please cook again." The Brahman said, "It is already after 1:30 in the morning. This is not the time to be cooking prasad." Vishwarupa said, "It is never too late to cook prasad." So he was pleading with him. So the Brahman said, "Yes, one more time." So Jagannath Mishra was very much afraid. Where is Nimai? And the young lady said, "He's fast asleep. There's nothing to fear." So the Brahman began to cook. And Jagannath Mishra was guarding the door with stick that Nimai was sleeping in. And just when he completed his cooking, by the Lord's Yogamaya potency, everyone fell asleep. And he began to chant his Gopal mantra, calling the Lord to come and accept the prasad, the bhoga. He closed his eyes in meditation. And when he opened his eyes, there was little Nimai standing there with the food in his mouth. And again he cried out, "Alas, alas, the child has spoiled my offering again." But this time everyone was sleeping, so nobody could hear. So little Nimai was standing with the food in his hand, coming, and he said, "My dear Brahman, you are calling me to eat, and I come to eat, and then you become angry. What is this?" "You are calling my name and praying, please accept this food, and I come. So why are you becoming so upset?" "I am that Gopal that you worship with such love and devotion." And then right before the Brahman's eyes, the little baby Nimai transformed into his form of Krishna. This particular manifestation had 8 arms. He had in four of his arms he had the symbols of Narayan, the conch shell, the chakra, the lotus, and the club. And in two hands he was playing his flute. And with two hands he had a pot of butter and he was eating. And behind the beautiful form of Krishna, which had a wonderful blackish complexion, lotus eyes, and beautiful peacock feather, and wonderful forest flowers decorating his curling black hair, and he had the beautiful Vaijayanti gala mala and the Kushtubha mani, and a wonderful, wonderful dhoti that was yellow and brilliant like lightning. And behind him were beautiful kadamba trees and millions of cows. And there were gopis and gopas all around. The whole abode of Vrindavan Dham was manifested before his eyes. And the Brahman, weeping in ecstatic love, fell unconscious. And when he came to consciousness, the Lord spoke to him. He said, "You are my eternal devotee. Many years ago in the house of Nanda Maharaj, you also came the same way to cook prasad. And I stole your offerings then too in my form of Krishna." He said, "I bestow upon you Krishna Prema. I am always obliged to fulfill the heart's desires of my devotees. But I order you, do not tell anyone what you have seen until after I leave this world." Because Lord Chaitanya was in the role of a devotee to teach people by their example how to be a proper devotee of the Lord. And how? By tasting the sweet nectar of the holy name. Everyone can achieve what we are reading in Bhagavad Gita of constant devotion and love through the sincere chanting of the holy name of Krishna. This Brahman was constantly chanting the name of Krishna. Krishna becomes, out of his love, subordinate to the love of that devotee who constantly chants his name. And certainly fulfills all the soul's desires. So then, Nimai transformed himself again into his little baby form, and he ran back into the room and pretended to go to sleep. And the Brahman was in such ecstasy, he could not control himself. With tears flowing like the river Ganges from his eyes, he began to take all the rice and smear it all over his body. And he was just crying out very loudly the names of the Lord. And in this way, he woke everyone up. So they all came running. They said, "What happened? What happened?" He said, "Oh, he remembered. He's not allowed to tell." He said, "Nothing happened. I'm just eating my prasad." And the prasad, he was throwing it everywhere. He was in such ecstasy. He said, "This time it was a nice offering, no problems." But that Brahman, he decided to never leave Navadvip. He stayed in that holy abode, and every day he would go begging, but every day he would come to see the beautiful form of his Lord. And he was thinking that the parents, the other people of Navadvip, they do not know that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If only I could tell them how fortunate they are. But he kept it a secret. And this secret was very important. Although the scriptures again and again explain how Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Yuga Avatar in this age of Kali, he wanted to take the role of a devotee to teach us how to live according to these principles of Gita. Krishna explains all the truths of Gita. But in this age of Kali, hardly anyone is able to fathom the real essence of what Gita is trying to say. Because this is an age of irreligion. Krishna explains, Sarva Dharman Purityaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. And Krishna explains how to surrender to him. Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyajim nam namastu mam evaisheshi satyam te prati jani priyoshime. So always think of me, to become my devotee, to worship me and offer your homage to me. In this way you will come to me without fail. But today even the greatest scholars of the Gita, they interpret the slokas to mean something completely different. Their conclusions are that Gita teaches jnana, ability to discriminate and analyze material nature and what is Brahman. Or they have some impersonal conclusion that by studying Gita you can become God. Or they teach that work is worship. You just work honestly, and that is Gita. There are so many, innumerable. Every commentator of the Gita has his own explanation of what is Gita. But nobody cares to understand what Krishna's opinion is. Krishna tells Arjuna, only my devotees can understand what is Gita. So therefore, although Krishna spoke the most perfect scripture in all of creation, the world could not understand what he meant. So out of his supreme most mercy, he incarnated to show by his example what he has already spoken. How to surrender to Krishna? How to perfect our life and become detached from material enjoyment? How to always remember Krishna? And the process he gave was through the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. This way Lord Chaitanya personally went into the streets and invited everyone to chant the holy names. And through his representatives, his devotees, his divine merciful mission continues even today. In this way, he was very careful only to reveal that he was Krishna to a few chosen persons. If others would find out that he was Krishna and call him God, he would hold his ears and say, Vishnu, Vishnu, please, no Jivatma can ever become God. One time, Lord Chaitanya was walking through the beautiful abode of Navadvip, and he saw a beautiful parrot on a tree. And seeing the parrot on the tree, he immediately began to remember Vrindavan Dham. So with great love, he turned to the parrot and he said, "Please, my dear parrot, chant the holy names of Radha and Krishna." And the parrot began to chant very loudly, "Gauda, Gauda! Gauda, Gauda! Gauda, Gauda!" And Lord Chaitanya held his ears. "What is this? My dear parrot, I am humbly requesting you to chant the holy names of Radha and Krishna. Radha and Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead, the eternal abode and eternal destination of all sincere souls. Please satisfy my heart by chanting the glories of Radha and Krishna." And the parrot responded in great jubilation, "Gauda! Gauda! 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 Gauda is the name of Lord Chaitanya because he had a beautiful golden complexion. He was known as Gauranga or Gauda. So Lord Chaitanya was very much embarrassed. "I am longing to hear the glories of Radha and Krishna. Please, please sing the glories and the names of Radha and Krishna." And the parrot, with great devotion, loudly cried out, "Gauda! Gauda! 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 Gauda!" And Lord Chaitanya, feeling very much brokenhearted, not hearing Radha and Krishna's glories, he asked, "Why? Why you are doing like this?" "I forgot about you." So the parrot began to speak. He said that Radha and Krishna have both come in the one form of Lord, of you, my Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I know quite well that Krishna, wanting to taste the sweetness of Radharani's love, has appeared with the loving sentiments and the golden complexion of Srimati Radharani. Radha Krishna, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahiyanya, that Radha and Krishna have combined into the one form of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Therefore, you are Radha and Krishna. Therefore, I will eternally glorify your holy name. Gauda! 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 So this Krishna consciousness movement is the movement of Lord Chaitanya. It is the practical method by which Krishna is teaching us by his example how to live our life according to the ultimate goal of Bhagavad Gita. And it is very simple. Lord Chaitanya taught a process which is Kevala Ananda Kanda. It is simply joyful to transcend all of the illusions of this bodily concept of life. We simply must remember Krishna and learn how to serve Krishna in all of our endeavors. Whatever we do should be an offering to Krishna. This consciousness naturally awakens if we associate with Krishna's devotees. We learn how to make our home a temple of Krishna. We make our intimate friends devotees of Krishna. We offer our food and take the prasad of Krishna. We live very pure and simple lives. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. These activities incriminate the disease of illusion. If we simply avoid sinful activities, have nice satsang with devotees, hear the glories of the Lord, and chant his holy names, we can become perfect followers of the Bhagavad Gita. What is ordinarily so difficult to attain, Lord Chaitanya has made it easy and joyful. In some ashrams, people are sitting, fasting, trying to control their mind and senses in silent meditation. But the mind and senses are so powerful in Kali Yuga that this shastras say you cannot succeed by this process. But when you come to Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda's temple, you see everyone smiling, dancing, and loudly, with great happiness, chanting the holy name. And hearing nice philosophy and nice pastimes of the Lord. And taking wonderful prasad. But this process is the most powerful way of awakening our pure consciousness. Therefore, Shastra says, Harinama, Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam, kalo nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gatiranjata. That in other ages, other methods were very good. But in this age of Kali, the chanting of the name of Hari is the only means of salvation. There's no other way, no other way, no other way. And we see how these little children, they love to chant. And even very old, old grandmothers and great-grandfathers, they love to chant. We have educated young students, very, very intelligent, scrutinizing our philosophy. And they are dancing and chanting. And we have nice ladies and housewives, and they are also dancing and chanting. And we have hard-working businessmen and government servants and farmers. They are all chanting and dancing. In the kirtan of the holy name, there is no longer differences due to our physical or social conditions. We all become one in spirit, the spirit of love and devotion. The Harinam Sankirtan movement is the only means to raise the consciousness above all sectarian barriers. Here in India today, there's so much fighting between castes, fighting between rich and poor, and fighting between men and women, and old and young. Not only India, but everywhere. And the United Nations and so many philanthropic and social organizations have tried to relieve this great conflict. But none of them have made any success. Even within family, there are so many differences. In America, which is the direction India is going socially, in America, every bedroom of every house has to have its own television. Every family member must have its own television. Because there's so many television shows. And nobody wants to watch the same one. If there was only one or two televisions, everyone would be at, they would hate each other. They would be at bitter warfare over which show to watch. So to keep peace, you just put a television in every room and everyone's in their own rooms trying to enjoy. And there's not even any real association with each other. The young are suspicious of the old, and the old think that the young are basically useless and they don't know anything. And that's within family. What to speak amongst families? What to speak amongst nations? There's so much quarrel, so much hypocrisy. This is the age of Kali. Hariyo. Kaler dosa nideira jan asti heka mahan guna. Kirtanareva Krishnasya mukta sangha parampraja. This age of Kali Yuga is full of so many faults. But there's one and only one blessing in this age of Kali. Everything else about the age we are living is a curse. Except the supreme blessing that anyone who sincerely chants the holy name of Krishna will achieve the perfection of liberation. So we find here tonight people from Australia, people from America, children, babies, people of all different castes, all different social groups, people from different states. Rich, poor, everyone is together, not thinking about any of these mundane designations. Everyone is simply thinking that we are all the eternal servants of Krishna. We have come to dance, to chant, and to take prasad together. And in this way to perfect our lives. One time, am I becoming late? No? Vishnu Loka is president? Now that Vishnu Loka is president, I have to become very careful. He maintains very strict standard. Should I continue? Very well. One time, our Guru Maharaj, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, was at a sadhu samelia here in India, where so many big, big gurus and sadhus and acharyas of different lines, they were all on a stage giving talks. And there were thousands of people in the audience. And everyone was assigned 5 minutes. But you know what happens when you give a sadhu 5 minutes. Their 5 minutes is not according to clocks. They all feel that we have the best philosophy. So what is the use if anyone else speaks except me? So each one was speaking long, long philosophy. And the people in the audience were becoming like some of you tonight. Very sleepy. Sleepy and bored. And one sadhu, and then the next, and then the next, and then the next. And people were ended thinking, when will this end? It's not polite to get up and walk out. I'll just warn you of this before you decide to do like that. So, Srila Prabhupada was the most famous of all the sadhus that was to speak. He had traveled all around the world and spread Sanatana Dharma, what nobody else had done. And he had so many of his disciples. So, when it came to Srila Prabhupada's turn to speak, he just had his devotees distribute puris and sugar. No, sugar. Chini. Huh? Yes. In Hindi, sugar is chini. So, and then he just told everyone, get up and dance and chant. He told everyone, I'm sure you're all tired of hearing philosophy. Just get up and start dancing and chanting in kirtan. And everyone began to chant the holy name. Srila Prabhupada explained to everyone very quickly, in this age of Kali Yuga, nobody understands philosophy much. But everyone understands chanting, dancing, and feasting. So after the kirtan, that was the end of the program. And there were dozens of great, great yogis, gurus, and sadhus on the stage. And everyone was coming to take the dust from Prabhupada's lotus feet. Because he gave them Krishna. So let us chant and be happy. So this wonderful temple, it is very simple, but it is actually the most opulent and wealthy place in all of Belgaum. Perhaps in all the world. Because the real wealth is devotion. It is a simple place, but it is a place where people come for only one reason. People do not come here to show how nice their jewelry is, or how nice their car is, or how many academic degrees they have. People do not come here for any reason except to glorify Krishna and to awaken their devotion to Krishna. This is the place where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy prevails. Of course, Lord Chaitanya's philosophy is the deepest, most profound and precise philosophy in all the world. But its culmination is so simple. Chant and be happy. So please, regularly come to this wonderful temple. Associate with devotees. Hear wonderful philosophy. Take these books of Srila Prabhupada. They are priceless. They can transform your life and the life of all of your family and friends. Take these books and read them carefully. And come here regularly. Be with devotees. And perform the Yuga Dharma, chanting of the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Ram, Hare Hare.
And make your life perfect. All the pleasure and bliss that the soul longs for can be attained by simply learning to properly chant Krishna's holy names. Thank you very much. So I think everyone would like to chant Krishna's holy names.